and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. A day 269. Or I think it is. Ah, can you tell I've got technical gremlins? Anyway, I had no doubt Jonathan would be first. Let's just check. Oh, Jonathan, that chat has been open more than an hour. You could have been really, really early. But never mind, you're here now. That's all that counts. Hello. And hello, Kim. How are you doing? Hello, Paul. What's gone on here today? Oh, do you know what I did that's really naughty? This does not happen often. But it did today. I'd put my out of office on. In other words, don't bother me. No one had had the temerity to email me, however. Well, nothing that required a reply. Except today. And by the time I got to it, mind you, in my defence, it was 2 o'clock this afternoon. So although I was up and wide awake, I wasn't checking my email. And they wanted a meeting at 4 o'clock. But did I mention holiday? Holiday. So when I replied, it had this alarming out of office message at the bottom. I don't think they'll be doing that again. Anyway, how's life for you? Oh dear, Jonathan's had the day from hell. Lots of work and no sign of the kettle. I feel your pain, Jonathan. I was expecting something by the 1st of December at the latest. And according to the people who've sent it, Royal Mail still have it. How long this is going to take, I really don't know. Oh, no. And Kim a good back... Oh, no, hang on. Not a good back day today. Better than last week. Try and push on. Oh, Kim. Lie down and rest. We've got to have you up and fit and dancing for Christmas. Oh, a MacBite's Christmas party. Why not? Why not? If I hear one more comment... Tell me, are you guys hearing this? Hopefully, by this time next year, we'll be back to normal. Which, on the face of it, sounds fabulous. And then you remember how people have behaved during the pandemic, where they are just, obviously, present company accepted, but, you know, what should we say? Selfish a-holes. Yeah. And I'm thinking, and these were the people that I was mingling with. Why would I want to go back to that? I don't want to go back to where we were. I'd like to go forward to a better place. But apparently we're all going to be back to normal, although we're going to have to wear masks for a year. So I'm wondering, seriously, if 2021 is going to be the year that I don't leave the house at all. Because early in 2020, I did. Oh, yes. We had Catanian dues and everything. But I'm wondering if next year I won't leave the house at all. What are your thoughts on that, Kim? Oh, is Jonathan's kettle located near Kim's iPad? Still no sign of the iPad, Kim. It's scary that our iMacs arrived so early, because we were thinking about getting something from Apple for Mike's mum. And because the delivery dates were pushing January, like between the 1st and the 4th, we thought there's no point, or she won't have it for Christmas. So we'd have to get something somewhere else. But when, you know, ours arrived like over 2 weeks early, ours was 15 days early. Then I said, you know, maybe we should have ordered it. But it's a bit of a lottery, isn't it? You don't know what's actually going to happen. But that's really not on, sat there waiting. And then there's its time in the COVID cave. Not good. Not good. Oh, they're locked down. Your lockdown is continuing until the 4th of January. Boris has said here, quite scarily, that the tier system is what was sunsetting on the 3rd of February. But you can't do that. Don't be ridiculous, man. So no sign of the iPad bought on the 13th of November. Now it's due to arrive right before Christmas. That is ridiculous. I think I was saying to Mike... Because obviously we talk Apple constantly. Poor Mike. When Steve Jobs was in charge, Tim Cook was head of inventory, I think. What do you call it? Basically, getting toys into people's hands. That. And he was very, very good at it. And Apple were renowned for fantastic inventory control. And now they're all over the place. We still actually haven't had a dispatch notice. And when we got the arrival notice, that was like after it had arrived. It's ridiculous. Head of supply chain. That's the fella. That's exactly what I meant. It's a good job Paul can read my mind, isn't it? That's exactly what I meant. But it was much better then. You believe what Boris said? Not a word, Jonathan. If his lips are moving, he's lying, like every other politician on the planet. People have no respect left for politicians, and it's their own fault. I mean, the Duck House did it for me. There was a politician in the UK. In fact, there was a lady, and I think she was from Canada or America. And she'd married a guy and moved over here. And she couldn't believe that you didn't have, like, public access rights to information. And particularly about politicians. Anyway, she pushed her way in, and she did really have to fight for this, to get access to expenses information. And that was only where the story started. One MP had claimed something ludicrous, like, I mean, thousands we're talking, like £28,000, for a duck house. I thought expenses were like getting from your home to Parliament. And even then, really? Because no one pays for me to go. Well, they wouldn't pay for me to go to work with it because I don't go to work. But like Mike, you know, we're saying this year, petrol, yeah, not bought any at all. So nobody would pay for Mike to go to work. Why are we paying for a politician to go to work? And then, to add insult to injury, when you look at the pictures from the House of Commons, there's nobody there. It's empty. Why are we actually paying for that building? There's never anybody there. Only on like the high holidays. On the high holy days, somebody turns up. But generally speaking, you look at Parliament and it's empty. Right, what's going on now? Hello, Pete. Hello, Anthony. You believe it when they make it happen, not when they say it. Oh, Jonathan, you could be in for big disappointments in life. Just generally. Oh, there you go. I'd forgot. I'd had no idea on his name, Pete. I'm not sure I ever did. How much was said duck house? Because that was the one that stuck with me, but there were a lot more. There was somebody who had a widescreen TV, and that was on expenses. Let's have a look. Oh, he left, did he, in 2010? That's good news. Did the government claim back the duck island? Go on, how much was it? £30,000, there you go, gardening expenses. A pond feature. For God's sake. There are no words, Arthur. There are literally no words. Oh, Kim's mum says she never had enough respect for authority. Yeah, I think all MacBiters have that, don't you, Kim? You pretty much... We live in a little bubble. We're the MacBites bubble, aren't we? We're already in Kim's bubble. She invited us, you remember? Madam came in after you'd gone and decided that that dentistick was all very well, but it needed to be supplemented with a jumbone. I told you she'd want a jumbone. I was quite right.
She's anyway, looking stuffed out there.
I'm not surprised. It's a wonder she can breathe. But there it is. So, and I had to seal the packet back up again. She's got a nose on her.
Right, it? Should we put them away?
Put them away before she sees them, after I've sellotaped them all up. Oh, Pete's got a picture of the duck house. I'm not even sure I ever saw a picture. But I remember the story being absolutely disgusting. And my mother always had very much a mind of her own. Trust me on that one. She was incandescent about the duck house. Oh, I do remember seeing it. I remember thinking how quaint it was. And, you know, does a duck need that? I was expecting something that looked like a garden shed, and then we get something that looks like a very expensive calm in the middle of an oasis. Unbelievable. And he'd spent £88,000 on the upkeep of his £1 million mansion. If somebody gave me £88,000, I could afford the upkeep on a £1 million mansion as well. Not that I'd particularly want a £1 million mansion, but that's not the point, is it? What a complete imbecile. So Tracy says, the argument is Parliament's not in the constituency place of residence, so an executive usually claims for travel expenses. I know, but your travel expenses are one thing, depending on how you travel, because then they'll want first class. But a duck house, unless he was working in the duck house, no. Another thing, wouldn't it be a lot cheaper to turn Parliament into a block of flats and have them all work from home on Zoom? Because they're not going in anyway. Oh, never mind, never mind.
Is Neil in?
I've not seen Neil. No. Why? What have you got that Neil wants?
Nothing, but I've just been doing a VLOOKUP, XLOOKUP, HLOOKUP webinar.
I think you do have something.
Do
but
I?
But we haven't had a chance to discuss it about what's happening on Friday. Right, I'll put it on there. Right, and there's a possibility you could do both. Right, I'll put it on there and you tell me. He's having a look at one of my post-it notes now. Could you do both?
No.
So are you doing the bottom one?
Yes.
Right. Are you talking about the other one?
No.
Right, okay then. Is that next week? Now he's pondering.
Yeah.
Ooh, we've got it next week. Put it on the spreadsheet. The one that you unceremoniously... Oh, public shaming coming
no,
out. Public
no.
shaming alert.
Pointy fingers.
Pointy fingers.
Pointy fingers.
Domestic. Just a minute. You accused me. I created this spreadsheet and it was just the upcoming weeks and it had slots on it and we put in what we were doing. And he sat there and watched over my shoulder and was like, yeah, that's fine. Okay. And then he closed all his tabs down. Like I must have like 900 open, but he closed all his tabs down and he never had this thing open in it anyway. Days later, and I do mean days later, I mentioned something about something that he was doing and he said, well, I haven't got access to the spreadsheet. You mean, and then he explained which spreadsheet and I said, right. He said, the one you didn't share with me. So I thought, fair enough. So I've got the spreadsheet open in front of me and I'm pondering where it actually exists in my Google Drive. In the MacBytes folder, the MacBytes admin folder to be precise, the root of which is shared with Mike. So, he accused me of not sharing something that he already had access
but,
to.
But...
No, but...
Yes, but... You didn't tell me, one, it was in that folder that I had access to, nor did you tell me its name.
It's on Google Drive. Go to it and search. You'll find anything. Go on, try it. Go and put in the title of what you're doing in the search in Google Drive and I bet you it comes up.
I'm sure it will.
If it doesn't, I'll do the washing up. He's heading off right now.
I'm sure he will.
Not allowed in the kitchen.
That's not. No, you're not. That's not the point, is it?
Oh, Jonathan. Wah, wah, wah. Get back up here. Hello, Simon. How are you and all the assorted Simons? So, Jonathan, did that come out of a Christmas cracker, Jonathan? He's putting a claim in for the Duck House because he's quackers. Mm. Pete says he should duck out after that one. And then Jonathan assures us it's unbelievable. There's no duck in there. Where's the dog? In Sir Peter Vigor's Duck House, where is the dog? It's obscene, isn't it, the price of that? Duck Island. Oh, happy, happy days. Oh, and Kim's got knucklehead politicians as well. Build an airport. Only he used it to travel. Not the rest of the public. Only those with private planes. Oh, that's shocking. That is bad. Oh, Pete, never an opportunity to be missed, is there? Duty free. Do you know, I bet they have. They'll have all of that sewn up. Poor Simon. We've shocked Simon. Mike cooks and does the washing up. Yes, he does, Simon. He does. Mm. But then there's all the magic that happens while he's doing it, isn't there, Mike?
Yeah.
Like what I've been working on today, which I think is finally finished. I had it finished, but you know when you've done a mock-up of something and then you think, right, now I've got to make it work with the actual features. That.
Just waiting for my bit now, you mean?
So I'm just waiting for Mike's bit now. You guys are absolutely crazy. Less of this foul language. Too expensive for ducks to live in. Very good point, Pete. Mm. What could live in there? I mean, you can see there's like straw in it, isn't there? Maybe it's a very expensive rabbit. Mind you, the rabbit wouldn't... Oh, it's got a little drawbridge, though, so the rabbit could come out that way.
Neil is in.
Oh, is Neil there?
Neil's there.
Oh, why did I miss Neil?
Neil's just made a joke. Neil's just probably turned up because he's just made a joke.
Anyway, you explain to Neil what your problem is.
I haven't got a problem. I've just been doing a webinar with X lookup and V lookup and H lookup.
Oh, all the lookups all together.
All the lookups, yes.
Simon, I remember the worm that turned. I absolutely love that.
See, Johnny. That
night,
was
Jonathan.
Dick Emery, wasn't it?
No, it was two Ronnies.
Oh, it was two Ronnies, sir.
Along with the Phantom Raspberry Blower of old London town, which as a child used to terrify me. I think I was about seven, but I loved it. What is the status of the new IMAX? Oh, Kim. Doing quite nicely, to be honest, but I'm still broadcasting from the old one. But I think today might be the day on account of stuff that happened. This thing's possessed. This one I'm working at is actually possessed. It's gaslighting me. I had a file open, nothing to do with Keynote, and stuff was disappearing from it. Now, I know it. I did say when I explained what the issue was, I mentioned Keynote. It wasn't just Keynote. It could be any application on your Mac. Well, it's doing it. So whatever the issue is, remember Alistair's issue where his iCloud never did get sorted on that machine, did it? It's that. I typed something in and then I turned around and carried on with it. And when I went back, it had gone. And when I did a search, the text wasn't there. So it's gaslighting me. So its days are numbered. But it's all the things, I won't nuke it yet, because it's all the things you'll forget that you need. Most things, because I know, so it wasn't Keynote, it was the computer. Well, the thing was, Paul, Keynote was doing it repeatedly. Keynote was the worst by far. And when I did the research on it, I was expecting to find it was an issue with either the iWork apps or iCloud. But it got a whole lot bigger than that. Predominantly, there was probably about four out of five of the complaints were Apple apps. But there was this odd bit, maybe sort of 20%, where it wasn't an Apple app and things were doing weird things. Now, obviously, I sorted it out with the iCloud thing and then I can roll it back. But they don't know what it is. So you can't fix it. So I don't think I couldn't even sacrifice this machine to the vagaries of a Biggles installation, because it's already had Sierra, High Sierra, Mojave and Catalina on it, and it's done it on all of them. So it's definitely going to need a complete new compave. And it is scary to think that something could do that. I mean, if that carries on, it's doing other things as well. So I'm trying to use trying to work out how stable the new one is by comparison to the old one, by what it's doing with things I have actually got installed. So one thing that's happening is I have an application. I've got two of these things. They both do a different job, but I think one of them could do the drawing job of the other, but I prefer the way that one works. So we'll stick with it. So there's one that you see me use every week where I draw on the screen. And that one's okay. The other one is an app that lets me do two things, one of which I probably wouldn't do in a live demo. So I don't think you'd see me do this in After Hours. But it's where it puts a circle around the mouse pointer. And I bought this app to do that job for one specific reason. When I'm editing in Hindenburg, you cannot see the T-bar. The T-bar's grey and the interface is grey. And it's like, where's the mouse pointer gone? So I turn this app on and it puts a dirty, great big red circle around it. And then I edit. Oh, I'm very happy editing then in Hindenburg. But the other thing that this app claims to do is it lets you use a magnifier. So you've seen me over the years in After Hours use magnification. Well, the app that I had to do the magnification with, Zoom It, is dead. So trying to get that out of the App Store, not good. Not good. So the next thing I tried was, do you know what? Let's keep it simple. Let's use the Zoom that is at system level. And the problem with that is you have to switch it on before you start. And I don't have it turned on all the time for the simple reason it clashes with a Zoom that I do use, which is I have it turned on in the system preferences that if I hold the control key down and zoom in, it zooms in so I can see stuff, which I use all the time. So I have to change that just before I go live, and then have to remember not to push certain keys because things that usually happen won't happen because I've had to change the option. So that it works, but it's a pain. So this app that I found had a magnifier in it, and I thought, fantastic, I can use that instead. I installed it, I configured it, it was working. 5 minutes later, the shortcut key was doing nothing. So I thought, well, obviously I've picked a shortcut key it doesn't like. So I picked a different one and I tried it again. And again, it worked initially and then it didn't. I'm thinking there's something not right with this. So obviously I blame the app because it wasn't happening with other apps. It must have been that app. No, it's not that app. Because now I've got it, I had it working. And what happens is you turn it off. And when you turn it back on, it's absolutely fine. But it doesn't stay that way.
Thank you, Kim.
Yes, here he goes again. Can't stop him sneezing. So I tried this new app. I installed it on the new machine. And I thought, I'll leave it running overnight. And if it stops using the shortcut key, then I'll know it's that. And it's fine. Shall I try it again, just to be sure? Touch the machine. Hello, machine. It's woken up. Yep, still working. So I think this machine is possessed. There's more wrong with it than just it's deleting stuff out of files. It's the application's working, and as long as you use the menu, it's fine. But the shortcut keys just randomly stop working. I can't have my shortcut keys just randomly stop working. So I said to Mike, it's not fully built up yet. And my plan was I was going to leave the old one on the desk till Saturday morning, because I'm building the other one up on the other desk. But I said, I'm now at the nervy point doing live stuff with this. CQ, Deb, CQ. So I do love the twang. The Aberdeen twang. Remember that? That was great. So that's where I'm at with it. The old one, not good. It's deceptive. It's very nuanced what it's doing wrong. So we'll have to see. But the new one's fine. Although you did make a point, and I'd made this point, which was maybe as Paul's bound to have tried this on his new machine. How much RAM has your new machine got, Paul? I thought when I did the update on my existing machine to the very latest versions of the Affinity apps, they are dual binaries. And I noticed when they start, they are appallingly slow. Appallingly slow. So I thought, you know, well, this machine's, you know, gaslighting me to start with. It must be that. But you said the same, didn't you?
Mm. Yeah.
Was it all of them or a particular one?
I've only opened Publisher, so let me open it again.
He's thinking about it.
No, it's still bouncing in the dark.
Well, you saw mine.
Mm.
So what's causing it? Bounce. After I'd opened them all once, and there was that initial screen that comes up, and you can put a tick in a box, don't show me this again. I'd put the tick in that box, then I closed it down.
That must have been 20 seconds.
That's what I'm saying. It's slower to run than an Adobe app. And it was happening on more than one machine.
Ah, now, that's immediate.
Exactly. But why? Did you turn off that thing? And had you already turned it off?
No, I turned it off earlier today.
Well, I'm wondering if it was that, because it has to load in live information.
Mm.
But anyway, it's fine now. But then with 128 GB of RAM, it should be fine, shouldn't it? 40. Well, 40 should be enough, shouldn't it? I had 64 in the old one. I think my Mac before that, I had 32. I think Graham did the odd 8, like you've done, where you've put, I assume you put 2 16s with the 8 that you had. I think Graham did that. Didn't Graham take his to 20? Would it be 20? Or 24? It'd have to be 24, wouldn't it, if he added 16? We'll have to cross-question Graham as to what he did. But he kept the RAM that he had, and then he put in extra, and I think he took it to 24.
No, it's nothing to do with that, because I've just run Designer, and it took about 20 seconds the first time.
Nearer to the microphone so we can hear
you. I just run designer. It took about 20 seconds the first time, and then I ran it again, and it's bringing that panel up.
Well, I don't know what it's doing.
And it was immediate. Be interesting if I shut the machine down.
Yeah. There is a noticeable delay. I mean, sometimes you think that took a little bit longer than it should have
done. I'll shut the machine down.
But this is noticeable. When Photoshop opens faster, you've got a problem. There's something wrong with it. I don't really know why they've done the universal binary thing, because mine came to download, was it Chrome? And Chrome asked what architecture you had.
Chip.
So it actually said on it Intel, and then in brackets, you know, most common, or M1. So they've done two different versions for it. We'll find out. But the second time around, it was fine. Whether it would be fine now, I don't know. Other thing I was doing, of course, was I was remote desktoping it. Because, like, it's 2 foot away from me. So rather than turn round. Oh, but Kim's going to love this. You know when you asked about what we were doing in terms of what was going where with Kit? And then you said, your house sounds amazing. There's Macs all over the place. Yeah, careful plans. We're going to have to do some more judicious shuffling. So the one that went out of the office into the bedroom is going to have to go downstairs. So the one that's four that are in the office at the moment, we'll be down to three again, but I need to move the fourth one. So that will then go in the bedroom, and then the other one will free up a desk. Shall I do a slider of how it all moved with like a floor plan? Do you know, that would be so cool. That would be so cool for me to look back on in the future. Never mind anybody else. Right, I'm going to run Affinity Publisher. Let's see how long that takes. Instant. So it could be a reboot, couldn't it, that's making it go slow, as though it's loading something in. I don't know. But it is absolutely instant, which I think with 128 gig it should be. Oh, that dock is alarmingly big. And why have I got stuff in the trash? But yeah, we're getting there. I haven't done much in the way of... I've put some software on. But all of the configuration options, it's amazing how many of them there are. And I dig out for... for posterity reasons. You'll love this one. Might show it you. Tell me if you want to see it. It's a spreadsheet that I built. I think it was 2009. No, it could have been 2000. No, it was 2007, wasn't it? When we went to Leopard. And it's all colour-coded with this is critical, this is not critical, I'm dumping this. And it went on for, and literally line after line after line after line. But the funny thing with it was, was when you look back, and in two ways. One, what app was on that list that was critical that you have not used in like 10 years? And you think, good grief, that used to be critical. And what is not on the list that you would think you'd used forever? So 1Password was on the list, so that still made the list. Evernote wasn't on the list because Evernote hadn't been born yet, bless. So that was quite surprising.
No, that's still bouncing in the dock, even after a reboot.
Well, I don't know why it would be doing that. Well, give it another go. Right, you've rebooted the entire machine.
Yeah.
Right. Run it once.
Yeah.
And when it's run once, close it down and run it again. And does it run faster the second time? If it does, it's loading something into some memory somewhere. We're all waiting with bated breath, Mike.
Yeah. It's immediate.
There's something weird going on. Why don't you go and have a look at the forum? The Affinity Forum, because if we've noticed it, somebody else is bound to have done. I will have a look at that, Pete. Thank you. Oh, hang on, I'm going back up here. Pete's going from Mac Mail. I use Gmail, and the client that I use, and it's really, obviously you could have it in a browser. This is basically a wrapper for the browser, but it lets me have my mail, my calendar and my contacts and a secondary mail account open in 4 tabs. And it gives me the ability, Pete might just buy with this next line. Let's see how this goes. Let's see if we can all get into Pete's wallet. The overriding reason is that it has something called a clipper, and it enables you to send a mail to Devonthink. Just shortcut key, it's in Devonthink. How did that go? How did that feel, Pete, as the wallet opened? It's called Mailplane. It is literally just a wrapper. But the fact, I went through a workflow analysis. Now, I'm looking at everything thinking, I have 9 ways to get something into Devonthink and I want to simplify it. And the mail was an issue. Because obviously you could send a mail on to Evernote. Not that it ever looks great, but you could do it. So I thought, I want to be able to be looking at my mail, press a button, and the mail just end up in Devonthink. And every one of them had a different nuanced way of doing it. But this one, it has one like clipper. And at the point that you clip it, you just tell it where you want it to go. But if the last time you use Devonthink, then it will default to the last, whatever the last one was. So it defaults to Devonthink all the time. So my shortcut is Command, Shift and E. And it's just Devonthink, 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 bin, 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 email's done. So there you go, sold. It was getting it to Devonthink, wasn't it, Pete? No, it's a good client. It's a little bit, as far as I'm concerned, like having a browser that is dedicated to it. And you could do it that way. But then you'd have the how am I getting this to Devonthink issue. And you could print it to Devonthink. But I had a criteria to make it work properly, which was I didn't want a dead PDF going to Devonthink. And what I mean by that is emails obviously have links in them and I want them to be live in Devonthink. And that one did it. So I binned, there was airmail over the years, there was Spark over the years. And the problem with email clients is you get one and you configure and configure and configure it and it's perfect. And then they sell themselves to Google and you're like, for crying out loud. What was it called again? It was called Mailplane. And it does look pretty much like a wrapper, but it works for me. The features are just about perfect. I will send you a link, and it works on Biggles. There you go. Does it say anything fabulous? It does have notifications if you want them, but I don't. I do that in a totally different way, as you know. You can annotate images in it as well before you send them, and there's loads of integrations with it. So you could send stuff to your to-do list. You send your photos to Photos, integrates with Evernote. It's fabulous. I like it. Oh, I've also got Zoom installed in it. So if I want to schedule something and then make it a Zoom meeting. Jonathan's gone, hasn't he? Like how we record MacBytes. Bit like pin a tail on a donkey. Throw a dart at the calendar. And then when you add the time and date, you can say make it a Zoom meeting. And that way we can just click to log in. That. Will it work with non-Gmail accounts? I don't think it does, Pete. I think it's just Gmail only. Because as I say, it's a wrapper. I would say it's Gmail only because the icon's got the Gmail icon behind the plane. But it's the old Gmail icon. So no, it's Gmail, calendar and contacts.
Someone else has found the same problem. Publisher takes 65 seconds to start.
Yep, something wrong with it. It's them, isn't it?
CPU usage during each of these initial panel openings is a steady 25%. After opening them the first time, subsequent panel openings are fast, with minimal CPU usage within the current publisher session.
Well, what concerns me about that is twofold.
Now they're on Windows with Publisher Beta 1.9 something.
That's scary. That looks like it's across the board. But there's two issues with that. There's one, the fact it's taking 65 seconds to open the app. I mean, it's not taking 65 seconds here, but it's taking long enough for you to notice a difference. And it changed when they brought out the dual binary version. So that's what's causing it on here, as far as I'm concerned. But if that's on Windows, then that's not the dual binary version, is it? That's causing the issue. But the secondary issue is, if it's faster the second time, then when it was opening the first time, it was doing a primary load into RAM or a swap disk somewhere. So the second time it does it, it's much faster. Well, that's fantastic. But you're eating my memory and resources to load stuff in that I don't need. And you must be keeping it there because after I've closed the app and then I go in again, it's much faster. That's got to be a fault and got to be something they need to address.
Somebody says, one of the moderators says, can you confirm for me, is the app simply slow to open as this is a known issue on Big Sur currently?
Well, I'm not even on that.
No.
I'm on Catalina on here. I haven't tried it on the one up. There's something wrong with it. Just get it fixed. Simple. Right. Pete's got two NHS mails, two Gmail accounts and a separate Office server account. You need all in one place, as well as iCloud. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. What you could do is have all of those mails sending on to another. So create another Gmail or as many Gmails as you need. Have each one sending on to a Gmail, and then when you hit reply, you can configure it within Mailplane that it sends it from your the Office one or the NHS ones, and no one will be any the wiser, which is how I was doing it with probably my iCloud one at a point, then I retired it. I don't really care if I get any mail on iCloud. Nobody's got the address, so it's nobody I want to hear from anyway. But yeah, that's what I do with it.
And we are aware of this issue and are currently investigating it.
And you know, you don't like getting a new machine, do you? And that, putting your kit on it, and it's slower than it was on the old
one. That was 9 days ago.
There's something wrong with it. It didn't take a rocket science. It's like the vaccine yesterday. It was the first day and they were giving it to the most vulnerable people, which is obviously as it should be. And then the first thing I see this morning as I get out of bed, and I had predicted this with Mike, but the first thing I see is do not take the vaccine if. And I'm thinking, well, you know, why would you do that on day two? You'd put that out on day one. That would be a story to put on your news site on day one. Apart from the fact it was all the stuff they learnt yesterday. And it was to do with allergies. Well, I don't think a gluten allergy is going to have much to do with it, but you never know. They didn't clarify what allergies. They just said if you had had allergic reactions to things without saying what, so really useful news story, not, then don't take the vaccine. And I said to Mike, what's going on here? And Mike had read somewhere that people had had really adverse effects with it yesterday. And I said, that's shocking on more levels than you would imagine. One, should have been caught in the trials. That's why trials are longer than 5 minutes. But two, and I thought if this was a relative of mine, I would be beside myself. They've given it to the most vulnerable. And now the most vulnerable are trying to get over the fact they've had the vaccine. It must be awful to go in really positive and get the vaccine and I'll be able to go out again. And now you're flat on your back because there's something wrong with it. But that's what we discussed this, didn't we, Simon? And Simon and I came to the same conclusion. They both got histories of allergic reactions. Well, why did nobody read the notes then? Why did nobody question whether it would be appropriate to give it to them because of the history? Surely that's what's done in the testing. The trials were quick, but actually had more volunteers than most other trials. Volunteering, you must be brave to volunteer. I guess they do very stringent health checks on you, but I still think you must be fairly brave to volunteer. But again, what we were saying was, with the trials, have they tested everything or at least considered most things? And why aren't they saying what they were allergic to? Because that would really help. You know, if it came and it said, you know, you're allergic to duck feathers because, you know, you've got your duck house in the middle of your pond, then I don't have a duck, so I'm fine. But if it's something else, like an allergy to penicillin, oh, yes, it would probably kill me if that was the problem. Why aren't they saying what it was? Or have I just not read the right versions of this story? All I've got was a history of allergic reactions, but allergic to what? And as I'm saying, if it was something as serious as a penicillin allergy, that should surely have been flagged up on the notes and discovered before now. So I was thinking, because of the trial and because they tested stuff, they would at least have a clue and learn the fact, look at the notes, see what these people are allergic to. I mean, when I go in, it's like, are you allergic to anything? And, you know, I haven't got a bracelet thing on, but I guess I should have. Mike is fully aware of it, and it's on the home screen of my phone. So if you tap my phone, it comes up and says medical notes, allergic to penicillin. It also says underneath, current medications, none. Which is comical because all our friends who've done that with their phones at church, it's like, I'm going to need an iPad so you can read it for all the pills they're on. Why do you take anything unless there's actually something wrong with you? Oh, no, never do that. Never do that. So the problem is they're waiting for funding for vaccines. There's a huge demand for this one. Most of the barriers have been removed in terms of time pressure or time delays. But they did say it that the government, the thing where they cross-question people, appearing before the committees, they did say, I think it was Patrick Vallance and Chris Whitty, they didn't know when people would need another dose. It could be 9 months. We'd need more testing on that. And that's the thing. When a vaccine takes 20 years to make, they know exactly how long it will last. With this one, they really don't. It's a minefield, this. So most allergies for vaccines are due to the preservatives. Oh, and this one needs to be frozen down to minus 70 as well, doesn't it? They didn't say, Kim, but they did say it was a serious reaction. So they're now on their back in hospital while they recover. And what I'm saying is that by definition, I think the first lady was 91. I think you're just hoping at that age that you get the vaccine and you're fine, not that you've then got to recover from getting the vaccine, because you just, at that age, you probably got other medical conditions as well. Do we know how many people the total was that produced the two events? Critical in assessment, if 1 in 1,000 in the UK have died from COVID, 2 in 50,000 who had a reaction and recovered is nothing. True, Simon, but you know, within a week, we're going to hear of people, well, actually we might not, but it will happen. We're going to hear, or I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't hear things of somebody who's died having it. But it won't necessarily be that, well, it'll be the vaccine, but it will be a reaction between the vaccine and something else that should have been picked up in the medical notes instead of wheeling them through like on a conveyor belt. So the specific formulation of antigen agent will be different in this vaccine, but the delivery system broadly similar, identical to the other ones. Some of the allergy issues occurred in the placebo, so not the ones that got the COVID vaccine, because they used the vaccine for another disease, meningitis C, which has previously been proved safe. So Simon says his understanding is both people were healthcare workers. I don't know, Simon. All I've heard was it was at least two people. This is what gets me. They're absolutely barking this lot. They don't want the anti-vaxxers to gain traction with this, do they? Because there's anti-vaxxers out there to start with, right? Never mind the ones who are just specifically anti this vaccine. So they don't want that to get traction. So they're having multimedia companies, social media companies, pulling down what they're considering to be like non-factual information. Fine. OK. And then the mainstream media put this out. But they don't give you enough information for it not to turn into a scare story. If they came out and said, right, if you're allergic to a cucumber, then you mustn't have it. That's fine. But if you put out half a story where you don't know who it is and what the circumstances were and what the allergies were and what happened, that's just going to feed into the anti-vaxxers with, oh, well, yeah, because it happened to somebody, you know. And you've the ones who are saying, like, well, you know what, maybe you should have it because you haven't got that problem. You can't say that because you don't know what the problem was. So either put the whole story out or put an embargo on it, one or the other. So Kim's mum had an allergic reaction to the shingles vaccine. I've told her to tell everyone when she goes in for the flu vaccine. This is the thing, isn't it? I know everybody's different and it could depend on something else that you would never think of. Like, isn't there something, I don't know how true this is, but if you go for, and Pete will know the term here, I do not know the term, the one where they do a colonoscopy, that's the one. Well, it's a camera, isn't it? Well, they take pretty pictures, that one. They told somebody, and I don't know how many years ago this was, that they'd have to come in, they'd got cancer. So after a few weeks, they come back in and they do another one of these tests. So this was the start of it and there was no sign of it at all. So had they made a mistake? But luckily, because it was a colonoscopy, they either had video or still images. And they looked at the two and they did not match. It was though like, are you sure this is the same person? And it turned out that then information came out in the in the invitation to go for your colonoscopy, don't eat black pudding before you do. So it could be something as stupid as black pudding. Not you know, a medical allergy to penicillin. It could be something ridiculous that's caused it. You can't test for everything until it is rolled out on a mass level. But to put half a story out, the anti-vaxxers will be straight on that. And they won't have enough information for whatever they've got to say to be valid. But you haven't got enough information to argue the other way either. Ah, there's the mainstream media for you. Ooh, one of the baby Simons has already been given a sign-up sheet. Excellent. It will be favourably reviewed in their annual pay review. I'm loving that. Well, I guess it reduces their costs, doesn't it? Oh, dear. So Pete says it may be that that was the first allergic reaction they've had, so they don't know what the underlying allergic trigger was without further testing. Dynarod. Yeah, that's the one, Pete. I just thought that was crazy. And there, I mean, obviously there are parts of the country that don't know what a black pudding is. I mean, in England, we probably eat less haggis than Scotland on average, except on Burns Night. But there you go. So in the north, black pudding's a thing. In the south, probably less so. I agree with you, Simon. Total honesty about the science is the only thing. Everything's a risk. Herbal medicine and homeopathy have risks. They do. Heart bypass, quite high risk. But if you need one, that's the way. Yeah, we mentioned that, didn't we, on Saturday night on Brooklands. It's been a standing joke, a bit of black humour, that every president of the Catanians, going back to...
Joe?
No, Louis.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if there was any before Louis. But basically, somebody takes over as president, and within their year, they have a serious medical issue. I'm giggling because it doesn't come much more serious than the first one, which was Louis. And he died. Was that cancer or heart attack?
Cancer,
wasn't it? So he was as fit as a fiddle when he took over, dead by handover. And after that, there's been Chidge, who had a heart attack, Kath's husband, who had a heart attack. And you know, these people...
Well, I had a quadruple bypass.
Well, yeah, but... well. Yeah, actually, it wasn't a heart attack, was it? He actually had a quadruple bypass, but it came out of nowhere. He'd had no symptoms. And you look at the guy, he looks as fit as a fiddle, doesn't he? He walks everywhere. You would never, in your wildest dreams... He's teetotal as well, isn't he?
I think he is.
You would never... he doesn't smoke. He's teetotal. And he walks everywhere. You would never think it was him. And he'd been president about 3 days. And he goes in for a standard checkup and be told that, you know, if we don't get you in within the week, you'll be dead. So he had a quadruple bypass the first week. Who else has had it? Ellen had her issues before Stuart took over. So obviously coming up to Mike taking over, it was like, what medical calamity? And I was like, no, it's not happening to us. It's not. And we did really well until the last month. And then there was a global pandemic. And apparently we've got the blame for it.
My dad died during our year. Does that count?
He did, but he wasn't president, was he?
No.
No, but I'm thinking with Simon and his homeopathy thing. That's why I took the medication I gave the dog. I took it first because there was belladonna in it, which is a poison. And I didn't know, you know, I'm working out the weight of the dog and the weight of me and then doing a comparison and thinking, well, I'll have to take, you know, twice what dose the dog is based on the weight of the dog. So there I am trying to weigh the dog. I had to go for a ballpark figure with him in the end, just to make sure that there wasn't a deadly adverse reaction. But it worked for him. It worked for me. It may not work for everybody. It depends. The thing with homeopathy is it's weird. It's like, you know, it works in blonde people under 5'4" with gallstones. And you're like, what? It's weird. People who have cold feet or people who can't bear to have their feet covered at night. And this is not like medical, is it? This is like, woo, woo. But my experience has been if I followed it, it kind of works. And the dog didn't know what it was taking and it worked with him. So I don't know. I've no idea. Problem is surely misunderstanding the stats. Well, lies, damn lies and statistics. But people like the anti-vaxxers will use whatever they've got. So they need to be absolutely honest with it, give you all the information, or they will twist it round to their way of thinking. Oh, Pete, that's brilliant. Once saw a patient brought in with a non-blanching red spotty rash. The parents were concerned was meningitis. Cue much mirth when I write, wipe the red felt tip off with an Alka wipe and sent her home. Oh, Pete, that's a classic. Oh, I've not seen that one, Anthony. I saw a similar one. It looked like a crime scene. It, like you say, it was a puppy covered in red. Was this in like, was it a hairdresser's?
Can't remember. I remember seeing it.
I saw one with a little dog and it was red. But was it in a hairdresser's, like a barber's, with barber's chairs? It was classic. Classic. You're happy Mike made it out just fine. Well, if you ignore the global pandemic, Kim. But yeah, we were all right. Now, we were determined going in. I think people take the role quite seriously and there's a lot of politics involved. And I think you do need... Would you say you need two people or a supportive partner?
Yeah.
Either you need a really, really, really good VP that you can rely on and talk everything through with, but your partner is the one that's responsible for... I mean, you go to ladies' evening, it's like, oh, Elaine's done a marvellous job with the balloons. Yeah, I might have pumped them up and slung them up there, but it was a joint decision between us because, you know, every year since time in memoriam, we've had flowers. You know these hulking six-foot affairs that you can't see the other person across the table? That kind of garbage. So I said, we're not doing that. I said, we'll have balloons. But even then, you've got, like, little nuanced things. So when you talk about Mike doing the pots, yeah, he can do the pots because there's nothing to think about with the pots. But with these balloons, we decided we put them on gold ribbon. And I said, yeah, but we're going to need to take some cable ties or make a bow on it. And Mike said, what for? And I said, because the balloons will... They'll fan out into like a triangle shape. We need to tie the strings together above eye level. So there's just like this thin, one thin string going up the table rather than like spreading out where you can't see people, which was the whole point of having the balloons. You see, you need supportive people for this. When did my life become? That's why we weren't having flowers. We weren't having flowers because... One, I wasn't doing flowers. Do I look like I'm going to do flowers? No. No, no, no. Not happening. Although I did bake a cake. Yeah, I wondered about that. But it was a one-off. I will never be baking a cake again. So we'll just have the one. But the flowers, I had two people volunteering. Now, these two people, no way were they going to be working together. And I thought, well, I can't give them like 50% of the room each. And if I choose one over the other, that's going to be the end of that. And it isn't just like that they would keep their displeasure to themselves. They would share it around with everybody else. The husbands would then be rowing with each other. So I just said, I didn't actually say no flowers, did I? I just said, no, I'm fine. I don't need any help. And then they walked in and it looked like a winter wonderland, didn't it? With all the balloons and stuff, but no flowers.
There you go. Kim prefers balloons because she's allergic to flowers.
Do you know, I didn't think of people being allergic, but you're quite right. Mm. The year before, they were quite tiny, weren't they? Which was good because you could see across the table. They were like in jam jars.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one got the nod the year before out of these two ladies, that you know, the ladies who flower, like ladies who lunch. I don't know which one got it because Ellen couldn't do it. She's only got one working hand. And I think Stuart was doing everything else, wasn't he? But it can. I think you need support. Definitely need support. But yes, we did make it out virtually unscathed. We're still here to tell the tale, which is excellent. And we didn't need to visit A&E or anything, which is good. So Simon doesn't like homeopathy. It doesn't chuff him work. So you die or continue to suffer from whatever you're taking the stuff for. I've just had good experience, Simon. Maybe Kim can debunk this one. But when I was having all the work done on my teeth, I don't know where it was like, you know where they dig a hole for the gas board and then the road collapses 10 yards up? It was a bit like that. The one tooth I had that wasn't giving me any problem at all started screaming. It became that sensitive, I couldn't even drink water that was room temperature. So obviously if you drink really cold water, it would have really set this tooth off. But I got to the stage where I couldn't even drink lukewarm water without it twinging. Just really hypersensitive. Even brushing my teeth was a nightmare. I'd have to warm the water that I was brushing my teeth with because it was that bad. So dentist said it might settle down. I thought, well, it's been like that for long enough now. It's driving me insane. So I did the homeopathic Googles. And I found this thing called Plantago. And it was one of these, you need to do this, you need to do that. So I did. And it'd been going on that long that he decided in the end, he said he didn't really want to do anything with it. But there was a possibility, you know, if it was that bad, then you're going to have to take it out. And that would have meant either another implant, but in his opinion, just live without it. It was a back one. So I took this concoction. God, it was vile. It looked vile. It tasted vile. It was brown. You had to paint it on. And it cured it. So I goes in and he said, so what are we doing with that? We're going to take it out or what? And I said, it's fine. He said, what do you mean it's fine? It can't be fine. You know, there's something wrong with the nerve. I said, it's fine now. So he wanted to know what the stuff was. Head off with it. Anthony doesn't understand the theory of homeopathy. The idea is that all water has a memory, and how do you get the water to forget all the disgusting things that's been in there before? I've no idea, Anthony. Could be the placebo effect, but not with a dog because he didn't know what he was taking. You're making a Catinian's meeting sound like a very dangerous thing. Do you know, Simon, it has proved to be. I don't know if he's just, you know. Oh, and the other one this year, Kim will know this one. The last one to be affected was our provincial president, who was Peter.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He died in September. So he took over in about May, June, and died in September. And he was the life and soul of the party.
Yeah, and then there's David.
Oh, and David Pearls, yeah. David is the VP, so he would have taken over. Only he actually got ill first, didn't he? So there's no P at all at the moment. President, because the VP's ill as well. It is a dangerous business. I don't think you should be going back anytime soon, Mike.
No.
It could be the age, but, you know, some of them are quite young. David's only our age, isn't he? And he was in hospital for ages. Didn't he get sepsis when he was in there, or did he go in with sepsis?
I think he went in with it.
But one of them went in, didn't they? And he didn't have COVID.
Now he has.
And now he has. So he must have picked it up in there. Are there any investigations when that happens, Pete? You know, like you go in and you've not got COVID because you've had a test and you've not got COVID. Then he's recovering. Then he seems to get worse. And then they do a test and now he's got COVID. So on top of the problem he went in with, he's got COVID now. And he's in his late 80s.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be giving him a vaccine. 90s.
Well. I think he's in his 90s.
He looks a lot older than his wife, but a lot of them do. Must be living with the women. Oh, dear.
So did you tell them to change it, Anthony, to 4321YTREWQ?
I shall have a read of that article, Pete, about the history. So Kim's not sure about the cause of the pain without seeing it. Teeth will calm down after a trauma at times. If the dentin is exposed because of the tooth next door, it will usually calm down with brushing. I'm trying to think, is there a tooth next door, Kim? Let me just check. Oh, yeah, there was. There is one next door. It had gone on for so long, he'd come to the conclusion. And the thing was, you know, you could have, like, a veneer put on to make the colour, to improve the colour. But with this one, I said, there's no way anyone is going to see it unless I am flat on my back and they've got a magnifying glass. So I said, I want to leave it as it is for as long as possible. So he said, I agree with that. You know, if we need to do something with it in the future, but at the moment. And I said, I want to be able to look at that one and see the colour they were. And then, I will smile broadly of the colour that they are now. He thought that was funny. But he did try and include it when he took the photos. So you could see a really good comparison. Or he may have had COVID all along and the first test was a false negative. Ah! Oh, no, didn't we have a Simon with a false negative? I don't know. I think he'd been in there 2 weeks, though, Pete, so I think he must have caught it in there. I just wonder whether there's... I guess they're too busy to worry about it at the moment, but you do have to question. It's a bit like the MRSA thing. You'd have to question because it's so serious. Somebody could die with it. Oh, passwords are the bane of my life. They really are. I tell you what did work well with the transition to the new machine, though. One password in a browser. Genius. Worth the subscription right there. Because all I need to do is actually log into that. And then when we set it up on the machine, it must use iCloud, mustn't it? And you only need your password, not the other thing that's as long as your left leg. So that did actually work well. So luckily I can get to them. You're absolutely paranoid about healthcare transmission. Well, I guess in that case, they will have a look at what actually happened then. Fingers crossed he pulls through with it anyway. But he's already got the problem that he went in with and he had treatment for that. Did that turn into sepsis in the end?
Just don't think away. It was sepsis. But...
I don't want anybody. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to open the door. Like the idiot gas man who turned up and thought it was a wise idea to ask to come in to read the meter. No, it's not. Simple.
I read it to him. Gave him the numbers through the door.
I'm loving that. Apple made Kim so mad not taking the passwords. I'm using a string of curse words. There was once Evernote requested a password reset and it didn't tell you, you know, the rules. So in my password, there's what I think of that. And every time I have to log in and I look at it, I think, oh, yes. When Evernote did. And yes, bad words make good passwords, I say. Oh, yes. Can you imagine what mine would be for some of the stuff I deal with? Oh, yes. You know, rule number one with passwords, tell somebody what the rules are. It's that simple. Because mine are very, very long. I've got passwords up to 90 characters. And some fields don't take that much. Some will take a space, some won't. Some will take stars and pluses, others won't. Just put the rules there and then we'll work around it. But what is genius is this double tapping your watch for it. Now that's amazing. Oh,
I've been doing that.
Totally loving that. But yeah, why not, hey? Why not? Oh, what a good day. So, where are we? Wednesday. Oh, I've got mails to write, haven't I? About what we're doing on Friday. And then I've got all the rest of the mails for the week, so I'll be doing that. But I shall be seriously contemplating the wisdom of moving, of swapping Macs, even though it's not built up completely yet. So fingers crossed. I can't tell you how angry I was with Apple that day, but it works now. And Pete had a sweary one for work about the useless IT department. Unfortunately, I changed it in IT. Asked me what the last one was. Oh, did your PC ever work again, Pete? Those in IT, you know, the cone heads, the propeller heads, they don't like that. You're not sure it was anatomically possible, but it was memorable. Excellent. Loving it. Oh. So Simon says, I've had it where you have to take notes. First, it's passwords cannot contain more than 32 characters. Then passwords cannot contain a... Exactly. Why don't you just put the rules next to it in one go? Just tell you what the supported characters are and what the rules are. I had one for a website and I put this password in and it accepted it. And I'm logged in and I'm doing what I'm doing. And I think I was ordering something and then I logged out. When I came back to log in, used the same password, and I know it was the same password, it was in 1Password, and it didn't work. And I thought, what's wrong with that? Because there's nothing you could try at that point. So I asked to ring the company, and he said, well, what was the password? So I thought, well, I might as well tell him what the password is, you know, because I can't get in with it anyway, it's not working. So he tried, no, he couldn't get in. Oh, it's too long, he said. So I said, well, it accepted it. He said, no, it's just cut the end off. And I said, well, how much of the end has it cut off? I have to keep trying and taking one character away. And I said, you know what? I'll just reset it. I'll do it again. But how many is the maximum? Because, it, you know, if it says the maximum is X, then I will stick to it. But even if it tells me, well, look, whatever you've put in, you know, the maximum is 32 and that's what I've used. then I would just knock that off what I've written down or put in one password. But no, it just cut the end off. Oh, that's another one. Yeah, you put your password in, but it won't actually let you see it. Oh, love it, love it, love it. Passwords, bane of our life. This is why Microsoft and Apple want us to do away with it. Well, two-factored stuff. Or pictures. Facebook keeps saying, you know, you won't need your password. We can just use a picture. What picture? Picture of what? And if it means like your avatar, anyone could use mine because it's not me. So, yeah, walk away. Leave it alone. Anyway, we'll ponder whether we're moving this and we will be back with you tomorrow night. When it will be... Oh, we might have something special tomorrow because it's the 10th of December and we know what the 10th of December is, don't we? No, Mike clearly has no idea what the 10th of December is. It's Hanukkah. And Jonathan's going to... Well, he said he would tell us all about it. So fingers crossed that Jonathan will be here and we may even have him on live telling us all about Hanukkah, which would be... fantastic. Hanukkah does last a week, though, so we have the whole week to go at. Doesn't finish till the 18th. So that's it until tomorrow. But for the moment, I'm going to say goodnight from me.
And goodnight from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.